My sermon today is called Carol. Carol, here it comes. You talking to me? Huh. Well. No. Okay. So, when I read the Bible, I always try to see where it applies to me. And that's how we should always read the Bible, even though it's about someone else. As I was reading Jeremiah, this really struck my heart. Because we all have a calling, whether you think so or not. You two are over here by yourselves. So I'm going to have to do the swivel to preach to you guys. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, you have a calling. You invited him in to your life. And your ministry is to share what God has given you. Right, Twan?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know. Well, look at the sign. Look up front. You talking to me? I'm talking to you, Twan. And your mama, Lynn. So even the prophet Jeremiah was reluctant. That's hard to believe. He was a prophet, but he was young when God called him. They're saying he probably was in his 20s, early 20s, so he was pretty young. Okay, so let's go to the Word. Now the Word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Wow. Is he talking to Jeremiah? Is he talking to us? So he's saying, I knew you. I formed you in the womb before you were born. I consecrated you. Wow. Let that sink in. That's pretty cool. So what does consecrated mean? We are set apart and dedicated. To the service of God. And he knew that before you were born. He knew you in the womb and consecrated you to serve him. That's kind of cool, huh? And he knew all the stupid stuff we would do before we finally cried out to him and said, Uncle, I give up. I never would have come to him if I had not gone through 15 years of way too much fun partying that turned really ugly. I never would have come to him because he needs to show us our need for him. We need him. And it takes us going through sometimes a lot of really crappy stuff for us to realize how much we need him. So when he called, did we feel adequate? Nope. That's when I was doing the you talking to me? Whatever. I was that person. So I certainly didn't feel adequate. And what did Jeremiah do? He did the, you talking to me? So in Jeremiah 1, 6 through 9, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. The Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Woo! Wow. We speak for Almighty God. His words. He puts his words in your mouth. Is that cool? And don't be afraid, even if you're young. Youth does not change the calling that God has on your life. Whether you accept him when you're young or when you're old, he has called you. He has put his words in your mouth. Woo! So in Isaiah, thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Wow. He made you and formed you from the womb and he will help you. The Lord who formed us knows the specific service and purpose he intended for us. Each person individually. But unless he creates a new spirit in us, we won't be fit for his service. So we need to search our hearts of where we sit with him. Do you have that new spirit within you? We need to step back and look at that. Do we have that? And if you don't, we need to talk after service.
Come on. Come to Jesus.
Because he wants each and every one of you to have that spirit within you. And when you have that, you can't do anything but share it with others. And when you're young, you should think about it a little bit, not venture out on your own, because we need to walk in the power of what God has given us. That means young in age, and that means young in the Lord as well. For I know when I first got saved, I was running so fast talking to people that I was running over them and I had to come back and pick them up and sweep them off and say, oh, sorry, here's what you need to know about the Lord. Because when you accept the Lord, there should be an excitement in you that cannot be quenched. And we need to go humbly about our work, but it shouldn't make us draw back when God calls us. Because when you have Jesus in your heart, you stand in the authority that he has given you. And when you go out in that authority, he will help you stand in that authority. And we should not fear the face of man. Right, Twan? Twan is the greatest evangelist ever. He goes to all the apartments around here, hangs things on their doors, invites them to church. This guy is so full of the Spirit of God that he cannot contain himself. He's hiding from me. But we need to be sensitive to what God is saying to us. Because not every thought that pops into your head is from God. So I have to remember, you know, is this from God, or is it thus saith the Lord, or is it I thought to myself? We need to double check and make sure, because I have to stop and go, in and of myself, would I have said that? And if you say no, pretty sure it was God speaking. So you have to slow down and think about what you're hearing. One thing that I'm going to use as an example is Peter and I and Janice and Clark and a few others are a part of the Christian Motorcyclists Association. And when we go to a motorcycle event, we stop when we pull up and we look. Okay, Lord, who do you want us to talk to? Where do you want us to go? And we stop, and usually God goes, that guy needs it. So that's one of those things that you have to stop and see what it is that God wants you to say and who he wants you to talk to. Slow down. That has to be my mantra. Because most of you guys that know me, I have a tendency to just get a little too excited about stuff. That's why I'm good with the kids. But it's one of those things that I even had to do it when I worked at the University of Utah. I would, because I was over all the cashiers in the bookstore. And when semester opening was there, I've got 35 students that are working for me, got thousands of students coming in, and my mantra has to be, okay, slow down, slow down. And that's what we need to do, is slow down and see where it is that we're going. So there's a quote by John Maxwell. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't want to know all about your Bible and thumping and throwing verses of scripture out to them. What's that going to do? I'm out. If somebody had done that to me in the beginning, I would have been, I'm out of here. God's message should be delivered in your own words. It has to be something that God has done in you, that this is what God did for me, and he can do it for you. Because people watch us. If they know you're a Christian, especially like us when we're at a motorcycle event, they watch you. They want to know that you are really who you say you are. And you need to earn their respect from that. Because you're not going to get through to anyone if you're doing nothing but just pounding stuff at them. They need to know you care. They need to see the fruit of your ministry. They can look around them and see things that are happening. And this is in any environment you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're at the grocery store, or Peter at the senior center, he volunteers at the senior center, or at the pool. So Peter and I go to the swimming pool at the rec center every morning. There is an exercise class in there that's for pretty much crippled old people. It's an aquatherapy class. And it is so precious to see all these people that walk in, and they've got their canes and their walkers and all that kind of stuff. And they get into the pool and they can move. It's such a beautiful thing to see. And it has turned into our ministry. I am praying for somebody almost every day. I got this that's happening. I got this that's happening. I am really struggling with this or whatever. And that whole thing of us, of them knowing who we are, Peter has turned out to be like the counselor at the senior center. Everybody brings their problems to him because they know that he cares and he listens to them. That's important. So I have an example. So there's a woman that comes to the pool. She is 79 years old, and she's really not a part of our class. She's always on the peripheral edge. She does her own little exercise thing that she's doing during the class. So I see her last week, and she walks in, and her whole face is black and blue. She's got a knot on her forehead. Her eyes are black. And I'm like, oh, mercy, Lord. Now, back up, her and I were talking in the locker room one day. And I gave her one of my angels. I know you guys, some of you guys know what my angels are. So with the Christian Motorcyclists Association, we make these angels and we hand them out to people to remind them of how much God loves them. And I had given one to her. And she was so touched that the next time I saw her, when she showed up, she had made me a rosary. And she hand makes rosaries, and she made one specifically for me. Okay, so fast forward back to I see her in the pool and her face is black and blue, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go over and hug her. So I go over to her and she goes, will you say some prayers for me? And I'm like, I'm praying for you right now. Wrapped my arms around her and started praying for her. She had fallen flat on her face on the concrete and broke her nose. And she was just barely coming back. Now, she had just lost her husband about a month before that. He had been really sick. So anyway, so she tells me I was worried about her falling. So that day, her and I walked out to the parking lot together. When we hit the second step at the rec center, she fell again. And she hit her knee, and it was pretty bad. And so somebody walking into the gym, some random person ran over and helped me. So I'm like, you are not driving home. There's no way you can drive. So I grabbed her keys, and I went and got her car, and I pulled it up right up front, and a couple of people helped me carry her to the car and put her in her car. So I run over to the senior center, because Peter's right next door at the senior center at the by the rec center, and I'm like, you need to follow me to Beverly's house. We need to take her home. So I took her home, put her there. We prayed for her, made sure she was okay, got everything all settled. Well, that afternoon, her son calls me because the number I had for her was not correct. So her son calls me and he said, you have no idea how much of a difference you made to my mother. And I stopped by the house to check on her. He got all my information and he ended up taking her to the hospital and her kneecap was broken. So I'm texting back and forth with him. He's telling me, and I'm telling the people at the pool that needed to know that she was okay because they all saw her go down and me helping her and all that kind of stuff. So I've got this relationship with her son and he's telling me the surgery's okay. It's okay if you tell everybody. Here's her new cell phone number and all that kind of stuff. But that was just from me giving someone an angel and praying for someone at the pool. And that is what we are called to do. I mean, for me, it's a second nature because that's my personality. But God has put that in each one of you. You all have your own way of talking to people and caring for people. It doesn't have to be in an effervescent, crazy way like I do. So back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because of his sorrow over the persistent message of God's judgment. You think God's judgments happen in our nation today? Whew! I don't know about you, but I feel the same way about the biker community and the world around us. When you see the faces of the lost, what does your heart tell you? Breaks my heart. It's breaking my heart. Let him break your heart. Slow down and listen to what God is saying to you in every situation you're in. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes it's just about having that ministry of presence. Just be there. Hold their hand. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Just be there. So in Jeremiah 31, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's us, folks. He has put eternity in our hearts. Is that cool? I mean, think about that. He has put eternity in our hearts. And Jeremiah saw a future day when God would write his law on human hearts, and they shall know me, and I will remember their sin no more. That is what our cry and prayer is for those that we are called to minister to. And of course, everybody loves Jeremiah 29:11. Janice and I both have it on our walls. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Hope's a big word. He has a plan for you. He gives us hope. But after that scripture, it continues on. "Then you will call upon me." So this is that when you find me and seek me with all your heart, I will hear you. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In verse 14, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Never, ever forget where you came from. He's going to take you back to the place from where I carried you into exile. He's going to send you back to that world of addiction, sinful life, whatever he saved you from. Because who is going to give them that message better than you? Been there, done that. He's going to send you back. Sometimes it's not to a place you really want to go back to. But God has put his word in your heart to send you back to those lost people which is where you were when he found you. Is that cool? He saved you for a purpose. You have a purpose. You are here on purpose. This isn't just some random thing that happened. God saved you for a reason. You're not just going to go, hey, thanks, God, and just turn around and walk away. No. Nope. That's not what it's about. Because I don't know about you, but once I finally got it, that he changed me into somebody completely different. He changed me. What you see here today is not what it was 35 years ago. I was hard. I was harsh. I was crass. And if you didn't like me, fine. But he gradually peeled away all that hard stuff off of my heart and gave me such a passion to share what he gave to me, to everyone else. That is your mission field. That is where God has called you to be. Okay, who's going to come do worship? Somebody going to come sing? Come on, Donnie, you can sing for me. So I want you to think about that as when God's going, hey, come on. Are you going to go, me? You talking to me? Yeah. He's talking to you. Yes, he is. If you guys want some prayer, we're going to have a couple people up here praying. If you want somebody to pray for you. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray your presence in this place would permeate every mind and every body. Pray that you would touch each person here and remind them of what you have done for them, taking them out of that pit of darkness. And I just pray that you would walk with us every single day. Sometimes it's a lot of work to get out of there, but you are always with us. And I pray your presence would go with us throughout this day and the rest of this week. And we pray healing to those that are sick, for Pastors Ken and Deb, for Anna. And we pray for Pastor Stephanie as well as she deals with cancer. We just pray your presence would be with us the rest of this week. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.